Next item on the agenda is public comments. That's the opportunity for those individuals who would like to speak to the commission on matters that are not on the agenda. Captain Bob. Good afternoon, sir. Captain, can we do something with the air conditioning, please? It's a little stifling in here. Thank you.
I'm amazed. The best thing that's ever happened to the Chesapeake happened right here at this podium.
I'm not sure what you're talking about, Captain Bob. Can you elaborate?
Water was from the Asian oyster thing. That's the best thing that ever happened. And I'm speaking from a guy that's working with the native oyster perspective. Works hard. Hustled up the Department of Highway to get 2 miles of concrete to do an idea. And hey, they're bigger than your hand right now. Living, 14 years old. Isn't that amazing? And continually spawning every year. And I say, let's give Francis Porter a medal.
Thanks, Captain Bob. Who else? Mr. Jenkins? Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon, Commissioner, board member. I'm representing myself today. And I, poor Jage. And I hadn't planned on saying anything, but after this last incident here of this seawall, it concerns me, and I want to be straight.
Please do.
I have a pier on a piece of waterfront property that I use for offloading and loading oysters, and it hadn't been used for that since 1985. And the decking on it is getting mellow. Matter of fact, some of it's rotten. And I want to replace that because I'm planning on getting back into the oyster business, which I was in years ago, and I got wiped out, and I'm just dumb enough now that to not put in more money in Wall Street because they wiped me out too. If I ever get into the nickels together again, I'm going back to that oyster. But I'm going to need that decking. I don't want to add on to it. I don't want to, you know, all I want to do is replace the decking. Do I need a permit or do I need a letter from Mr. Graham? The county guy on it told me I didn't, but, I mean, I'll take photos of it before and after, put markers there. I'll do everything I can, but I would like to start on working on that pier this spring and summer during spare time so I can have it ready for that.
I think the best thing for both of us to do is to assign somebody to personally handle your case, Doug, and I'll ask Mr. Graham to take care of that.
Thank you.
You're quite welcome. Mr. Smith.
Ken Smith. I've got a couple of things I'd like to bring up. You know, when I first met Captain Bob, I thought he was some kind of nut, some kook, and I imagine he gives that impression to a lot of people, and I don't think I upset him when I say that. I think he would tell you that himself. But what he has done in the Rappahannock River with this structure he's put on the bottom and the amount of strike and the oysters he's gotten, and it's documented proof that it's been done, I really wish some people would start paying attention to him. Habitat is an important thing to us, and in the crab management plan, it calls for ways that could increase that, enhance habitat. The Nature Conservancy might really be interested in what Captain Bob's doing, and I think it might be a wise idea if, you know, we started looking at it, the commission started looking at it, BIM started looking at it, and maybe see if the Nature Conservancy would take some of their money to try some pilot projects with Captain Bob and take them up in these rivers and start trying to build some sanctuaries and some rivers.
Well, I can assure you, we pay attention to them. The last project that we had, we gave extensive evaluation to it.
I'd really like to see it move on. I think he's on to something. The other thing I want to bring up, I'm kind of like Doug, and I hadn't planned on saying anything about this, but I come to these meetings over and over again. And I wish I had time to be as involved on habitat projects as I am on fishing projects. And over again, I hear these after-the-fact permits. And I'm sure what I'm getting ready to suggest now is something that would have to be done legislatively. But there ought to be some type of criteria for a contractor. And I don't know how those criteria would be formed, but this stuff of it happening over and over again, and we come out, and as far as I'm concerned, $600 ain't much for destroying habitat or for breaking the rules. And I would hope that the commission would consider something along those effects.
We have examined that, and have actually had meetings with certain members of the marine contracting community. The problem that you run into is those that are responsible that don't run afoul are the ones that come to the meetings and the ones that are involved and things like that. We have to...
If I can interrupt
absolutely.
You for just a second, but I think you could say that same thing for the water. You know, 90% of us are legal, but we have a lot of regulations put on us because of the 10% we don't follow.
Gotcha.
But I understand what you're saying.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Anyone else? Okay. Me's next.
You're probably familiar with, we've been trying to get the harbor porpoise management plan changed because we have a real bad problem in Virginia Beach. Commencing every year, February the 15th through March 15th, they can have no net 7 inches or greater, which is what they need to catch legal rockfish. If they use net smaller than that, there's going to be a terrible discard problem. And along those lines, we've had no marine mammal interactions, and they've been keeping records since 1993. They had one harbor porpoise take, and it was 4 miles offshore, which was outside of the management area. We've been asking for this exemption. I don't know if it's forthcoming. I seriously doubt it, given the changing government in Washington, D.C. I feel like it's going to be the same way as it is in our state. But I'd like to move forward with the finfish, with looking at opening the ocean fishery in the month of January for commercial striped bass. And maybe eventually, if we can do this as a pilot to it for the state, it would certainly spread out the catch and help the price a great deal. And it also would make these people have a 14-day season. Because what happens at March 1st, the bottlenose dolphin take reduction plan starts, mm-hmm. and they can have no gear in the water after sunset. So basically, they have a 14-day season, and it goes to the month of November. They're still involved in it, where I am on the eastern shore, we are not. Ours doesn't take effect until June 1st. The bottlenose dolphin plan doesn't, but all of us are affected by the harbor porpoise. So I really like to move that forward. Consider opening in January, straight bass season, and we have talked to Mr. Johnson. He said it was something he could handle. So.
Well, we can send it to Finfish, but I fear y'all do a good job vetting these things before it gets to the commission, but I think you may be opening up Pandora's box as far as opposition is concerned. Having said that, I have no opposition to send it to Finfish. None. Mr. Robbins?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I do have several items to bring before the commission. One relates to the snapper grouper fishery. As you know, Virginia has a uniquely high-quality, predominantly recreational snapper grouper fishery for groupers, wreckfish, and tilefish. It's caught over 22 IGFA all-tackle world records in the last 3 years, to give you a sense of the quality of the fishery. The South Atlantic Fishery Management Council is developing two actions that are immediately relevant. One is Amendment 18. Amendment 18 would extend the geographic range of the fishery management plan for those species through the Mid-Atlantic Council's jurisdiction. That would go all the way to New York. And the basis for doing that would be under the unit stock definition in National Standard 3. The target date for implementation of that plan is January 1 of 2010. Separately, Amendment 17 would prohibit fishing for snapper grouper species deeper than 40 fathoms. It would impose a one snowy grouper per vessel limit and have a coastwide annual catch limit of 532 snowy groupers. Groupers are extremely susceptible to exploitation, as you know. and so it's a highly sensitive fishery. And in response to this, I would suggest that we develop an action plan collaboratively between this commission, the Mid-Atlantic Council, and the South Atlantic Council to request the establishment of a separate management unit that is a northern management unit north of the North Carolina-Virginia line for the deep water snapper grouper species to be managed by the Mid-Atlantic Fishery Management Council. And to do that, I would request, I think we're also going to have to take action here at the state level, and we're going to have to, I think it would be appropriate to begin collecting data on our recreational fishery. Right now, the MERS data indicates that there are no landings. Obviously, our citation program shows a large number of blue-line topfish citations. The IGFA data shows substantial landings on the grouper as well. So I would request that we put this item on the April agenda, that we advertise it for a May hearing, and those items would include data collection and vessel limits for the recreational fishery for the deep water complexes, revised commercial limits, and a bycatch percentage on the commercial fishery, and ask that the commission send a letter to the Mid-Atlantic Council requesting the establishment of a separate management zone for the fishery.
Mr. Travel said, you comment on that, please.
We are very much aware of this issue. Rick has kept us out of his role as chairman of the Mid-Atlantic Council. He has very good contact with the South Atlantic Council and has kept us apprised of this issue. It's definitely something that Virginia's fishermen are going to be very interested in. And I think Mr. Robbins' suggestions are good.
Good enough. Thank you. Next item.
Thank you. Two other items that came out of the CRAB committee. We met last week and discussed a number of actions. There were two concerns that came up that I indicated I would pass on to the commission for consideration. And one was that there was a concern about the possibility now of false reporting. And the reason for that is now that we've gone into a management scheme that involves fishing privileges and waitlisting licenses, and we're looking at historical basis of participation, that there may be an inducement to falsely report. And so we asked that there might be a limited audit, perhaps, of some of the data in the reporting system, namely those licenses that are active and reporting very low levels of activity, and also those that just began reporting activity. In other words, licenses that were previously inactive but in last year, have, since we began taking action, have begun reporting activity. They would just audit those at a staff level and then report back to the commission on that. There was also a concern about expressed about cheating on the existing pot limits, and I think I would just follow up with the committee members and ask them if they have any specific information to forward that to your office as the season gets underway.
We will. We'll investigate those, but again, I'll be realistic. We've always been realistic with each other. Until we have a pot tagging program, there's no way in the world we'll be able to know exactly the number of pots. Therefore, the amount of effort is completely out there, so we'll continue along that path. Points well taken. Thank you.